This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local here in Greater Green Bay. And this show, and I'm glad you're listening to it, because I see that you go to Spotify and type in Lean Local and download our show. We like that. I know Sundays sometimes are a little bit difficult because a little competition with those guys over on Lombardi Avenue. That's okay. We can do both, right? Watch the game and then listen to me. And this show is getting more important as we get closer to November 5th, because one of the things that I like to lean in on are local politics. And look, I'm not taking anything away from what's going on nationally, and that's, we're going to even talk about that a little bit today. But what really affects you is what happens here locally, here in Greater Green Bay, everything from some of the decisions that are made in Washington, but how's that going to affect us living here in what is one of the best places to live in the country? And, you know, last week we interviewed the people running for state Senate, right? So that's the one of 33 people in this district who are going to serve us in Madison. We've interviewed a plethora of assembly people, and I think that's great. You know, there's 99 of them. We, of course, didn't do all that. We just kind of are more concerned about our local area. But there's a big-time job coming up. That's it's an open seat. That doesn't happen a lot in politics. And I'm a big term limits guy. We're going to talk about that later. If there is an open seat, it's amazing the good people that step up, because sometimes they think, oh, the incumbent this or the incumbent that, he's not that bad of a person, or she's not that bad of a person, or they got too much money, I don't think I can. But this is an open seat in the 8th Congressional District. Our previous alderman, our previous congressman, I should say, stepped aside. So we have this open seat in the 8th Congressional District for the United States Congress. This is an important job, and couple reasons. We're going to talk about how it affects us here living in Greater Green Bay, but the connections these people have. I mean, they are, you know, really, they meet with the President of the United States. They work on some unbelievable issues. They're in on some top secret things, depending on the committee assignments you get. And who knows, you know, these Congress people, they can go to Senate, they can go to President, they can go to VP. I mean, that's happened, right, with Ryan and a few other people. So anyway, we are excited that in our studio today we have Tony Weed. Tony is, I don't want to say new to politics because he just went through a battle, is the candidate for, when you get up to Congress, you pick a team, right? Republican or Democrat. Tony's the Republican nominee. He went through a primary, and we interviewed him when he was on the primary. It was a very quick interview, 20 minutes. He's going to be with us for the full hour today. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper on some of the issues. But yeah, welcome back. You're back here.
Mayor Schmidt, I am so excited to be here.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed our first time. It was my first time being in a studio like this.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, and I'm really excited to spend some time.
That's great. And like I said, we're glad you're here. How, you ran against two other people that, I don't know, were all right. I mean, it wasn't, sometimes you get these crazies. And I don't think either of those guys, I think, they were three decent candidates, and you won decidedly. How has it been since then? Have they coalesced? Are they on your team?
Well, look, it was a very difficult primary. It was my first time going through a primary, and you know, I feel blessed to have gone through such a difficult, you know, time throughout that process. Went against two very formidable opponents, two great people that I got to know very well. We were on the campaign trail for like 3 months together, so we each knew each other's speeches. We really got to know each other well. But we competed, and it was a great experience for me. I learned a lot. I had the opportunity to learn some of the ins and outs of campaigning and things like that. And at the end of the day, of course, the voters decided, and I was very happy with our win. And since then, we've had a good relationship. you know, I don't hold grudges. I think that's the most important thing to make sure that you bring people together. And we've had good conversations since. Yeah. And want to continue to bring them in. And I want to continue to bring the Republican Party together. You know, when you go through these difficult primaries, you know, there can be some competing and some factions that kind of grow. But my goal now is to bring our district together, the Republican Party. We may not agree on every single item, but, you know, we do agree on the main things. And that's what I'm continuing to do. They have been gracious and have endorsed me and are helping me. And I'm just continuing to work hard.
So I don't, nothing negative against those two. Why did you win? And not because they got the most votes. I mean, what was there something that people really latched on to? I mean, I've obviously interviewed, I went to your debate. I mean, I know a little bit about you, read about you, but you know, what is there something that people are like, man, Weed's got it. This problem solvers at the private sector versus the public sector. Or what is there something a little bit different that you feel gave you the edge?
Well, there's probably a variety of things, but again, I leaned into the fact that I am an outsider, somebody that has not been in politics. Look, I've you know, led nonprofits and, you know, charitable organizations, and I've coached sports teams, and I've always been involved in the community when I had time and running our small family business. But I think people really wanted, and I heard that throughout the 11 counties as I went around, people want someone from the outside. Mm-hmm. People want the truth. They want authenticity. And, you know, that's what I said when I set out to do this journey here and to serve America and to protect this country, is that I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be myself. I've given very few speeches in my life. I've not had any experience in campaigning, but I'm going to be myself. And what you see is what you get. And I think people want a pragmatic approach. They want someone from the outside that has proven to be a problem solver, because when you run a business, especially a small one going against big competitors, you have to be really good at problem solving. You have to be good at leading and bringing people together towards a common mission. And I think that's what people liked. And, you know, it was a very difficult race. I got outspent almost 5-1, wow. which was amazing. And it's very expensive to run a congressional race. But again, I think that's what people are looking for, is that pragmatic approach. They're ready for problems to be solved. And people have a lot of issues that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to bring to the table. And that's what I talked about.
And that's refreshing to hear, the whole authenticity, because, you know, we talked about term limits last time, and I just, it whatever, we'll get to that at the end. Hey, I got to jump ahead because it's, and you know, I'm going to ask you this question. Campaigns are expensive. I mean, right? Were you surprised how expensive it is? Or did you say, well, I'm going to go into this thing and it's going to be that expensive? Before you answer that. I think they're unbelievably expensive, and I get asked, although I have a good excuse I can't give now because I work for the media, which is awesome for me because I do like supporting certain people. I have this concept. I never liked the money that went into elections, but even the Supreme Court said, it's unlimited, man, just because I was going to cap it $1 per person, right? So Mayor Green Bay, $107,000, right. And you represent 600,000-700,000 people, and you're way over $607,000. You're over $700,000. I mean, you're, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm like, well, and I wonder. I just want to get your response on this. I'm going to ask your opponent the same thing. I'm going to ask everybody the same thing who's coming in the next couple of weeks before the election. Would your campaign, if everybody agreed to it, or would you, as a congressman, state a law that your campaign donations, they're public? Maybe not the person, but the amount.
Well, the person is. That give even the campaign money, the person is public.
Even on some of those dark money things? I thought
Right. That's a different component.
Okay. Correct. But it's still, they have to disclose how much money.
That they give to you directly.
Right. So, Correct. Right. This is my question. I think 10% of that money, tithing, should go to charity. And so if I give you $500, $50 goes to charity, and you can pick the charity. I mean, I don't care, as long as it's a 501c3, right? That it's and you know, I look at our little community. You know, I work at the new community shelter, and you know, I heard that the TV stations, just the four TV stations, increased their revenue $8 million through you guys. And look, you're on TV. Everybody's on TV. You got to be on TV.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking, man, what $800,000 would do for us, or even $100,000, or $50,000, my God. We pinch pennies over there. And I just think people, you look at this, it's a waste of money, but 10% of it. And that 10% is good because it's tithing right back to the Bible or whatever, however you want to tie it back, or my parents. I don't know. Don't you think I just want to ask you about that. That's not why I had you in here, but I want to ask you, because I'm going to ask everybody that.
Well, I was shocked. When I decided to run, I met with, and my wife and I went and interviewed folks that would run our campaign. And the first thing that I learned, and being an outsider, is that I would need to raise at least $1.1 million to win a primary.
That's a lot of money.
That is way too much. But, you know, that is what it is. You have to do that in order to win. And those are hard dollars. So there's really a couple of different components with politics. One is you could give a certain amount to a candidate, and that's public record.
Yes.
You know, you could give like $3,300 max for the primary. And now we're in a special election, too, that Governor Evers called for. So there's a special. There's another ballot. So you can give another $3,300 for a primary. And then you can give that same amount for the general. And so those are the hard dollars, I guess. Those are the ones that go right to the candidate, public record. And there's limits, and, you know, that's how it works. But the other thing that there is in politics, as we see in a lot of these negative ads that are coming out, and I had millions of dollars in negative ads. And on the bottom, it doesn't say paid for by that candidate. Right. Clearly was my opponent. But those are the what I think where you're getting to, too, which is really the other side of politics. That's, people can give unlimited to those, you know, they're, right. I think they're 501, they're nonprofits. But, you know, those are unlimited dollars. Nobody, you know, it's hard to tell where they give them to. But that would be the part. Look, we could do the rule with the hard dollars, but what about those in their PACs? They're called the political action committees. But those are the ones that really can sway elections. So that's the very difficult part about politics today.
Yeah. We're not going to cap it. We're not going to stop it. It is what it is, right? They're expensive. We don't buy elections, but we spend a tremendous amount of money on the undecided. And I was just, you know, even writing checks, if I knew 10% was going to charity, it would be, I'd still write the check, but it'd be easier check to write. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later. That's not that important, but it's expensive. And how is the fundraising going?
Well, that is a big component in order to win an election, especially if you're coming in to an election as an outsider. But, you know, nowadays it's all about getting on TV. It's all about getting to people and getting your message across. Fundraising's gone well. I mean, I'm new to it, so it's very difficult for me. I've never really asked anyone for help. But it is important, especially in a federal election. It is in the state races and mayor races, local races, too. But it is a difficult thing. It's a necessary thing. That is the rules today. Now, it doesn't mean I have to agree with it, but I have to play by those rules that are in place right now. And you know, you have to win the game. Yeah. And so, but it is going well, but it requires a lot of outreach. I'm talking to people, and I use it as an opportunity to get to know people and listen, get advice. And then I do need support. Yeah. And so, but
you and know, people know that. You know what I mean? You're not on TV for free. You don't mail these mailings I get. Oh my God. I mean, it is
expensive.
I just hope it's worth it, and that's what I'm looking for. And I thought, well, even if 10% is worth it, I would do it.
But I do think we need to reform.
All right. We'll go talk about that. We got a lot of issues I want to get to. I just really appreciate you being in the studio today. We're going to be right back. We are here with the candidate for District 8, Congressman Tony Weed. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Buddy, you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're the show that really leans into what's going on locally here in the greater Green Bay community. And we have with us in-house Tony Weed, who is the candidate for the 8th Congressional District, which obviously includes Brown County and 10 other counties. And we're talking with him. We talked a little bit about how expensive it is, and that's just the reality. It is what it is. But let's move on from there. So you've been at this for a while, right? 6-7 months? I should know that.
Yeah, it's 7 months.
Seven months total.
I started this process basically in February.
Yeah.
You know, I made my intention, and that I've always wanted to serve this country in some way, shape, or form. And when Mike Gallagher decided not to run again, I made the decision. But then I went on a course of you know building a team and right. you know going through all of this. But I launched in April, so okay. yeah, it's been a while.
Right. I bet it even feels longer some days. when you decided to run, you want to serve the country, you're a business owner. Have your three issues changed after getting at the doors? Or you usually go in with two or three things, right? I mean, we're going to get into how you work with the other side a little bit later. But, like, what is Tony Weed? Like, you're kind of known for something. You look at some of these people, it's like, wow, that's, you know, I really think even Gallagher, I think, was pretty big on China. I mean, I think he leaned into that big time, and I think he did, you know, did a pretty good job. What are you hearing, and does that parallel with what your issues are?
So when I first started, you know, and these are things that I'm also very interested in, and I see the issues that we're facing right now in this country. But when I first started and getting around to these 11 counties, what I heard during the primary, people were very concerned with border and having control of our border and the fact that millions and millions of folks are coming across that aren't citizens, that are coming in unchecked. And this is happening, obviously, during this administration. That was really the top issue, but inflation was right there. And the fact of the economy and you know, people are paying, you know, 20% up to over 50% more for regular everyday items in the grocery store. And that is a big issue. It's hitting people on the chin. It's something that people talk to me about day in and day out. And those are the two big issues during the primary. Those are my issues too. I think the economy is a big issue. It's something that we have to address. And I believe it comes from reckless spending. It comes from not having a budget at the federal level. And that is what I had to do in a small business. If I didn't manage my budget, my wife and I, and go through our budget line by line every single day, we would go broke. And, you know, we had to sign personal guarantees. We, you know, banks would literally take our house if we didn't, you know, have a, you know, fiscal responsibility. And I think that is so important right now. And that is the cause of inflation that is hitting people so hard. So safety, security, you know, inflation, economy, those are the big issues that people are facing right now. And of course, Social Security benefits. You know, that they, people obviously have paid in all their lives. They want to make sure that they can continue to get what they paid in for. And that's very important to me too, in working with seniors.
And the seniors, you know, they sometimes, politics is an ugly business, right? And sometimes they, oh, you guys are going to do this to Social Security. And Social Security for some people is, that's their income, which
it is
not a good idea, but that's their income. And you should probably supplement. There are younger people though, and I don't know how old your kids are, but there's people in college, 20 or people even out of college, they're not counting on it. And I'm wondering what you think, because they're paying in, but are they paying in for me or are they paying in for themselves? Because not fair to pay in for me and not for themselves, right? And have you thought about a means test? Like, really, do some people need Social Security when they're flying off in their private jet? An age limit? I mean, I think when that started, the average age was X and now it's at least 6-7 years. And so are there things that you're hearing? Or I think Social Security's got to be addressed. I think everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. Democrats, Republicans, independents, right? Senate, Congress, everybody knows Social Security is going to go bankrupt in, well, I don't know what the, it depends who you talk to, but 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 years, right? And is it less than that?
No, I think so. I think 8 to 10 and probably not much more than that if we don't do something.
But what is that something that, and I'm not, look, you're not the president, and you're not, you know, the Speaker of the House yet. But I mean,
well, it's a question of, look, if you've paid in, I don't think the government should be in charge of picking winners and losers. I think if you paid in, you deserve that right. You've paid in, you should be able to get you know, those benefits. But I think, you know, the younger people, I don't know if they're even aware yet and what that looks like in 30, 40 years at this point. Of course, they're paying in. They're just trying to make ends meet right now. But the difficult part we have is we are paying for it through inflation. And, you know, the more inflation really is a tax, and it taxes and it really hurts those on fixed incomes, like on Social Security, the most, and it ravages the poor and the middle class. And it doesn't really affect those that are independently wealthy. So really, inflation is how we're paying for this right now with the reckless spending that we have in Washington. I don't know the exact answer. I'm committed to making sure people can maintain those benefits, but we need to start having those difficult conversations and understanding it, but looking at spending as a whole throughout our budget.
Okay. Let me just talk about that, because I what you say makes sense, but I'm telling you, both parties have spent a lot of money. I mean, it's not everybody. Oh, these guys spend too much money. Oh, these guys spend too much money. And when you're in there and the politics start, that's a lot of pressure. And, well, don't cut this. Well, okay, I got to cut something. And is there something that you, to reduce spending, right? I mean, the military is a huge, huge part. And I don't know where you're at with that. And obviously, you know, Social Security, Medicare, those are huge. And then there's a lot of other things. And people say, well, that's such a small part of the budget. Well, you know, pennies make dollars. And sometimes you got to start with that. Are there any specifics that you've had in mind or that you've been hearing or that's something that Tony Weed would strongly support that's not being done?
Without being in every single budget of all the agencies. So look, the House of Representatives, our job is to oversee agencies, you know, making sure, and then also to present spending bills. But that's why I'm a big believer in single subject spending bills, where, you know, every bill that we, you know, vote on should be single subject. Right now we have omnibus bills, 1,100 pages that, you know, maybe you think, well, 60% of it's good, but 40 isn't. Well, how do you vote yes or how do you vote no?
And I'm sure they read all 1,100 pages.
Well, there's no way you can in 24 hours, especially when they put you up right against Christmas and expect you to vote on it. So I think single subject spending bills is really important and something we have to do in order to really truly get into each individual one. I think we also need to audit the agencies. There is no auditing. There is no budget in many of these agencies. And I think we need to really dial in on that and make sure. There really isn't a budget at the federal level either. I think it can be done. I think we can get to a budget, but you know that probably is going to take a little bit of time, but it's very important that we...
Those two concepts could make a significant difference in how we spend money here in this country. All right, hey, we're with Tony Weed. We're going to be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. City on rock and
roll. From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, the show where we talk about kind of what is going on here locally. And there's a lot going on right now politically in this country, and there's a lot of issues going on worldwide. But we wanted to spend more time just talking about Greater Green Bay and how things are affecting us, even decisions that are made in Madison and D.C. And our guest today is Tony Weed. And I think by now you've heard of Tony Weed. He's one of the candidates running for the congressional district for the state of Wisconsin, District 8 to be specific. And we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the things regarding spending and campaign finance, the money side of things. But, you know, I really should have started with this question, so I'm just going to jump back and then we'll move ahead again. But, you know, you kind of had it made. And so what inspired you to, I mean, I, you know, you work hard, you run a business. I mean, I did that and I'd like to think you made a few bucks along the way. And, many people would have done other things. I'm not saying, you know, you go right on the beach, but, what inspired you to run? I mean, what was it? Was it an issue that was bugging you? Was your mom saying, Tony, you believe in, you belong in Congress? What was
it? She did not say that.
They usually don't. No. But no, what inspired you to run for Congress?
Well, Mayor Schmidt, you inspired me to run for Congress.
20.
You came, right? You came out of the business sector and you went into public service as your soulmate. You went from customer service to public service. And, you know, and people like you. And I think that's really important in our country right now that we have people that are willing to step up the way our founding fathers intended. You know, live their life, you know, have a career, raise their family, what have you, and then go serve for a little while and then come back home. And, you know, I say that, you know, but I mean that. I think that's important that people do step up. But I grew up, you know, when my parents had a small business, it was a small family business, and I loved every minute of it. And I saw that entrepreneurial spirit. They sold snowmobile parts and used snowmobile parts, and it was kind of a niche business, which was a lot of fun. But I was always with them, and I loved the excitement of entrepreneurship. And so that's what I always wanted to do. And that's what we did. And, you know, it wasn't always the greatest business that we had, you know, my wife, Angela, and I, but there was very difficult times. There was times where we couldn't pay, you know, we had no money to pay, right, ourselves. And banks were leaning on us hard. And, you know, it was a very difficult time, but it ended well. We were very blessed to be able to sell our business. And, you know, my grandpa inspired me. He was a World War II vet, Purple Heart recipient, very humble man, never talked about it other than I knew it because he'd stand up for national anthems while they were on TV back, you know, during the Cubs games and things that were on TV. He'd always stand up, very patriotic. So I was always around that. And I've always loved this country. And I love sports, team sports. And so I played football and hockey, played football in college. And, you know, the House of Representatives in the Senate, the legislative branch is a team sport. It requires people to work together. And we see now what it's like when they don't work together and how dysfunctional it can be. But we had a year where we were tying up loose ends from our business, and I prayed on it. And I continued to ask for a sign. What is it that I'm meant to do? What is it that my wife and I are meant to do to have, you know, an impact on the world? What is our purpose? And just give me a sign. I don't need you to tell me, you know, what it's going to be. But, you know, where can we make the biggest impact? And I truly, you know, going from owning a business and then not, there's that sense of a loss. And I think purpose. We're better off with, you know, very difficult things in front of us and achieving and making a difference in people's lives. And I've always liked leading and teams and seeing people succeed around me. And so that was my sign. And you know, it's an opportunity, right? We're given opportunities in life. And you decide, well, you take it or not. Mm-hmm. And I made that intention in February. And what I really want to do is make public service my sole mission. I have the ability, I have the energy and the desire to bring people together and to solve problems. And in the House, you have to bring people together. And on both sides of the aisle, and even within your own party, it can be very difficult. And I look at it like, look, I'm one of 435 people. I'm very good at bringing people together, and I like bringing people together. I want to be successful as a country, and that's what drives me each and every day. And I that is my purpose, and I feel I can make a big difference.
Well, I mean, that's I hope it's what you think. And I know you know the industry, the business, but, you know, I sometimes worry about really good people like you going into, you talk about you like sports. That's kind of a combat sport.
It's a contact sport for sure. Yeah. You get punched.
But everybody says, you know, ask him, you know, Tony Weed's coming. Oh, we got to ask him, how's he going to work, you know, with the other side? How's he going to work across the aisle? You know, my question to you, I would preface that with, how are you going to work within the aisle? I mean, I just think there's some crazies in both parties that are either not willing to compromise or are more concerned about getting on TV than they are about getting this country on the right track. And is it wishful thinking, or have you talked to some people, or do you think there's a strategy out there to, I don't know, play baseball together? I know they do that, but I mean, how are we going to get back to where we're working together again? Or are they? And I just don't know it.
Well, I think there are folks that are working together. It's gotten very divisive from a Republican and a Democrat standpoint. But within the Republican Party, there's definitely, you know, there's some odd people at odds. But I think, you know, coming from a position of every relationship, every success I've had in life is built on trust and being authentic and working together, setting what we want to accomplish, finding some common ground and achieving the mission. I think this is probably the most difficult thing that I could have chose in order, you know, to truly make a difference. Because you're going to have people, everyone has a different agenda. Some are maybe just want to be in politics and it's, you know, they want to continue to get reelected. There's others that have good intentions, but you have to work with everybody. You know, I always say you don't have to respect people, but you need to act respectfully. And I would just ask people that treat me respectfully, but we need to work together towards a common mission, and that is to save the country. And I think there's major issues that we have right now, and I'll work with anybody. I don't care where you come from. It doesn't matter where I came from. You get to know people, and you have to be together, and you have to communicate, just like we are right now. In studio, you're together. You feel each other's energy, and that's very important. I think when communication stops, and it is, you know, in the House of Representatives, people just don't talk, and they don't even get together at all. I think you should be able to fight it out, have good, dispassionate debate with folks, and then go have a beer after. Say, look, we don't agree on anything, really, but we could still agree.
But we agree on your beer. Family?
Yeah, on beer, right. I'll bring a taste of Wisconsin.
I hope we can do that, because I couldn't agree more with everything that you're saying, and I obviously didn't agree with everybody and everything, but I'd like to think at the end of the day, we did respect each other. You know, we'd go to events if they're... kid was in a piano recital, I'd show up there, didn't care for the guy, but you know, they got kids and kids are great. And I just think that's a little bit of a struggle, and it's going to take leadership. And you know, the leadership, let's talk about the top of the ticket just for a second, because this is about Tony Weed and the 8th congressional district. But how do you, as someone who's going to be working in that environment, one of those two are going to be, or as someone who wants to work in that environment, one of those two are going to be president. Mm-hmm. Can you just comment on their strategies, their difference? You're endorsed by former President Trump. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris has been in Green Bay a lot, and she's like twice this week, or maybe it was, Vice President was here, and last week in Ripon. Wisconsin's a huge, huge state to win this election. I mean, I think the way Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania go, it's winner take all.
Oh, it is. And it's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. I agree with President Trump on the policies that he put forth during his administration. You know, just look at things like the border and securing that and working hard to minimize those illegal crossings. You know, and I think he was very good with the economy. I think he worked very hard on that. He was very passionate about it. He was very good on the energy sector. I think we need to be energy dominant in this country and say it. Really promote, you know, liquid fuels and grow our country's economy that way.
I don't want to push back, but is liquid code for nuclear?
Liquid fuels.
Because I'm a big, I look, you're not going to talk me out of nuclear. It's clean.
That is a great question. I'm saying liquid fuels in, by way of gasoline, diesel, biodiesel, ethanol, things like that.
Okay.
I think it's very important that we, you know, natural gas leaning into that. And but I also think nuclear is the way to go. I was just with a co-op, an electrical co-op here this morning and learning about their industry. There's, you know, over 56% of our country is, you know, gets their electric through co-ops, actually, and they're independent. And they kind of operate in each community. But I believe in the energy sector. President Trump was very good with that. And I think we need to lean into that and be confident in being energy dominant in this country. I do think he's a good leader. I think J.D. Vance is a very good leader, bringing people together. But I think it's important that, and I will encourage them as president to communicate with everybody, communicate with the other side. I learned from Tommy Thompson and getting to know him well. He used to sit down every week and meet with the Democrats. An hour later, he'd meet with the Republicans every single week. And I love that. I think you have to get the opinions. Let's get together. And he'd say, let's try to come together on these things and get things done. And I will encourage President Trump to do that. I think he did in meeting with their leadership of the Democratic side. But I don't see that now. Mm-hmm. There's very little interaction between the Democrat presidential level and Congress right now. None. And I think you have to communicate. You have to get together in the same room and talk things through. That's what I will encourage President Trump to do.
So you're put in office by the people of the district. Have you got a strategy for communicating with the, what is it, six, got to be 600,000 people, right? Seven?
A little over 750,000 in 10 full counties and then half of Winnebago, or a little bit of Winnebago County.
So what does that look like? I mean, the campaign, I mean, you're not going to be campaigning. I mean, you're out every day, probably about 10 hours a day with this guy driving you around and going to everything. I mean, that's...
I don't let him drive.
Oh, really?
A little bit. But, you know, communication is the key, because going from a customer service background, which I was in my whole life, if I didn't provide good customer service, I didn't eat. I wasn't able to feed my children. And so when I'm setting up an office, my number one goal is to be the best at constituent services, continue, you know, be able to communicate with folks, answer their call, and close the loop on issues that people have. And I will do a good job of getting out into each county on a regular basis to make sure that I'm visible. And that's my job. I'm a representative, a constituent representative is what I call this position. And so for me, it's communicating, whether it's through social media platforms, whether it's through emails, having listening sessions. That is the important part of this job, listening to what the issues are. And that is my role. And public service being my sole mission now that we are empty nesters, kids are off chasing their dreams, and now that they're adults and doing well in college, and my oldest is in law school, we can devote that time, and that's what I'm passionate about, to truly save this country.
The local communication, we talked, you know, social media, obviously newsletters, number of things, visiting all 11 counties. Where will your office be, or will you have more than one office? How do you guys do that?
It's hard to think about, you know. Obviously, I'm
I guess
so
you got to win
on,
first.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, obviously okay. My goal is
all
November
right,
5th. But what I would say is, to me, I would prefer to keep the office that's currently in place just from a cost standpoint at the, you know, being in Brown County, it would save a lot of money. You could leave everything there.
Okay.
And that currently, Congressman Gallagher's office was right in Tapir.
Right. Here we are. Today's Sunday, so it's 2 weeks away from, not 2 weeks, more than that, 3 weeks away, I guess, from the election. What has to happen?
18 days? Yeah, I think we're 18 days out.
What has to happen, or what should happen? Early voting is going on. Absentee voting has been out there for some time. Does your strategy change now to get out to vote, or is there still more, this is who Tony Weed is?
Absolutely. So I'm working every day. I'm going to continue to meet. We have a parade this weekend. We're in different counties and just continuing to hit all. I didn't realize there'd be more parades. I think we hit 20. I don't know how many we hit, probably 20 or 25. A lot of parades in the district and a lot of festivals, which is awesome. But it's great to see rural America come together. People come together and they have their stakeholders in their city. I just love it. Right now, I'm going to be out and meeting as many people as we can. And, you know, obviously I like to get into larger groups and be able to present and speak, which has been a lot of fun learning, you know, that skill and, you know, just, but it's easy when you're speaking the truth and talking about things right. That you care about. But I do want to focus on, I think early voting is really important right now. You know, November 5th, there's going to be long lines, and our listeners are all working. We have jobs during the day and going there at 5 or 6 o'clock, there's going to be really long lines. I would encourage people, I'm going to vote early, most likely on the Saturday before. And I would encourage people to vote early. I think after the 22nd, you can vote and also utilize absentee,
right.
You know, have it delivered right to your house and you just send it back in the mail.
There's no excuse not to vote. You know what I mean? I mean, it is easy and it is early. You can do that, but I like standing in line. My wife also, I'm like,
well, you
I'm,
talk to everybody.
And
then there's baked goods too. There's always baked goods.
There is.
Those are, right. You can't pass those up.
See, it's all a good time. All right, we're going to be right back. We're talking with Tony Weed, the Congressional District 8 here, a candidate on the Republican side. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
With Jim Schmidt, we are talking about local issues and how they affect us. And someone who's going to help this community is the next person who's going to serve this district in the United States Congress. And we have in-house with us today, Tony Weed. And Tony, we've been talking about you, your issues, some of the things with to curb inflation. You have an opponent, and I'm going to treat her the same way I'm treating you, right? At the last segment, which we're in right now, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. And I'm going to ask you the differences. But one that's just obvious because she's leaning with it is reproductive rights. You're not on the same page.
It is. She's very passionate about this issue. And, you know, this was a state issue. And the Supreme Court made the decision recently, and it is back in the state's hands where it belongs. And I think that's, we need to deal with reality. That's where the battle is. That's where, you know, as in a constitutional republic, you elect folks to represent you. And in this case, with issues like this, that you elect someone to be in state assembly or state senate. I'm personally pro-life. Having four children is the greatest joy of my life, and Angela's too. And I highly recommend it. And that was always my focus, to be a good spouse and a good father. And this, though, is a state right issue. And, you know, the job of the House of Representatives is to oversee the agencies and to present spending bills.
Can I ask, I'm not picking on you. I'm going to ask her the same thing. But if somebody, let's say there's someone who has been just focused on the presidential election, and then they come down to you and your opponent, like, man, they both seem like nice people. What's the difference? What is the big difference? I think that is one of them, because I think you both led with different strategies. Although you're saying it's a state issue, let's talk about something else.
Well, I think that there could be no bigger stark contrast in my background, being a small business owner and a leader in the community. You know, having the running a business that long for almost 30 years, you really learn grit, determination, hard work, what it takes to make those difficult decisions in order to keep your business financially successful and solvent so that you can, you know, lead a team. And, you know, having all of those years of leading a team, hiring folks, working with them, setting expectations, and then holding them accountable to certain expectations, and finding a common mission and all achieving the goal. And, you know, all of that experience, and like I said, is, I think, very, very important, something that, you know, I have in this race. And I'll bring a pragmatic approach to the House of Representatives, just like I did in business. You know, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And that's was always allowed me to be successful. That's in my nature. I'm not I'm not somebody that yells and gets, you know, I don't want the attention. I just like solving problems and getting the work done so that everybody can be successful. And I love seeing people be successful. And in this role, I want everyone to be successful in our district, and I want our country and the people here to be successful.
When we talk about the success of this country, and you talked about the fiscal responsibility, and that's a big deal, right? I mean, we've got to get $32 trillion is crazy. And what bothers me about that is people don't know. I ask my students, how much is $1 trillion? They don't know. You know, that's a lot of zeros, you know? But we're at $32 trillion, and you think by curbing some of that spending, we can get inflation under control, all right? And that's good. But I'm talking about the future of, you know, you're younger than I am, but these kids who are like Kyle's age, 22, 23, what's in it for them? But can I just back up a little bit from that? I don't think our education is great. And I know we both went to the same school. You did better than I did. But I look at, we used to be number one in engineering, and what are we, 16th or something? And I just don't think I don't think we're keeping pace in the world. And look, if you say it's a state issue, I'll buy a little of that. But don't you think we can do more at the federal level to help education?
Well, I think federal level, I don't like the idea of federal bureaucrats telling us how to run our public schools. I think the stakeholders need to be in control of it. I think there needs to be guidelines at a state level. But I think individuals are the solution. The people are the solution, especially, you know, when you talk about public schools. And right now we have a Department of Education that is, you know, sending down, you know, directives that people don't agree with. You know, you have boys going into girls' bathrooms and things like that, that people are fed up with. And I think we need to get back to the stakeholders of each community that are making those decisions and really teaching our children how to be productive in society. You know, there's, of course, reading, writing, arithmetic, and so forth. But getting into problem solving and leadership and patriotism, civics, and those types of things, I think we can do better. And again, I think people need to get control, get involved. I encourage people to get involved in the school board, you know, getting, you know, back to, you know, more involvement from our parents in those. So I am concerned. I think I'm also a big proponent of tech schools and apprenticeship programs for children. I think we need to do a better job of saying that that is a great option to have a wonderful life, you know, getting into apprenticeship, you know, whether that's steam fitting, plumbing, electrical, or maybe you go to tech school. But you know, you could own your own business. You can have a great life, a great there's always work, and we need people to get into that. So I think there's, you know, other options that we need to continue to talk about as leaders in the community, that you don't have to go to a university or college.
There's an article in the Wall Street Journal, Next Millionaires, and it was like plumbers.
I saw that, yeah. That's true.
That was actually pretty cool to see that, because I think some parents are, you're not going to make it. You're going to be in, you know, there's students that go to college and then come over to TC and learn how to do something.
Right.
I mean, so that's
a
reality.
It is a great app. And maybe you're in, you know, find, I guess from kids, and I would love to be able to go into schools, and I'm looking forward to it, you know, seeing, hey, look, find something that you're really good at, that you're passionate about, and then go for it.
Right.
And there's great opportunities, and you can have a great life. And if you're into artistry, maybe you want to get into, you know, pipe fitting and or things like that. And you can, you know, using your hands and being on your feet.
And, you know, there's always a spot for the best, and there's always money at the top, you know, and there's just,
yep,
there's a way people can do that. Okay. I wanted to touch on, you talked about the Department of Education a little bit. We talked about, we're running out of time here. Look, we only got a minute left. I'll give it to you. I'm going to get you back before the election because we're booked, but this is your last minute, and thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. It's always great seeing you. I love your energy, Mayor Schmidt. And again, I mean that as far as, you know, inspiring, seeing folks like you that come from the private sector that want to get into public service. And I know you're passionate about it, and you may have even have an itch to do it again. I think you should. But, you know, for me, it's an honor of a lifetime to even be in this position right now that I'm in. And I feel blessed. I feel that it is a calling for me to be in public service, and I'm looking forward to serving the great people of District 8.
All right, good luck on the trail, Tony. All right, Tony Weed in as a congressional district candidate. Thank you for joining Lean Local. We'll be back next Sunday with another candidate running for Congress. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.